and can be found on page 1089 in the Church Bibles. That's John 20, verses 1 to 9, page 1089 in the Church Bibles. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Be thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity to worship together and celebrate your rising in glory today. We pray that my words will do honour to you. Amen. Well, a very, very good morning and a very happy Easter to all of you. It's really wonderful to see everybody. Now, I've put here, introduce self, but it doesn't seem to be necessary. That's been so lovely. And just to take the opportunity to say again, thank you so much, everybody, for the welcome. It's been lovely. And to say, if you haven't said hello yet, please do, because I'm working around trying to get to know everybody. Everybody is important, every single one of you. So please say hello to me. That'd be great. So it's Easter Sunday morning, and isn't it great to be sharing it together? And I've had a lovely start. We had the sunrise service at St. Paul's at 6 o'clock. We had an 8 o'clock at St. Paul's, and now we have the 10 o'clock at St. Mary's. And it's just so joyful to celebrate the day our Lord arose from death to life, the day he defeated death forever, so that we who believe in him can have fullness of life now and for eternity. Now, have a quick chat to somebody near to you. I'd like to know, I'm going to be asking you in a minute, but chat to each other first. What are you doing today to celebrate Easter Sunday? Have a chat amongst yourselves first. Wonderful. I need to remember, there's no problem at St. Mary's when I say have a chat. My goodness. Brilliant. How lovely is that? Fantastic. Would anybody be happy to say what you're doing today? I'd like to hear one or two. It's relevant to what we're doing afterwards. Anybody? Anybody at all? Thank you. Now.
How'd you get to
sorry, I beg your pardon, everybody. What are you guys up to?
Family all together.
Family all together. Now that sounds really great. What about anybody over here? Sorry about this. You'll have to get used to me over time. Family. Any advances on family all together? Yes. Thank you, Piers.
So one of our sons appeared last night unexpected.
How lovely.
He'd driven all the way from Swansea just to come back to our house. I think just for food. And when we left this morning, he was still in bed.
How wonderful. That's absolutely brilliant. So one more over here. Jean.
Yes. our granddaughter's baptism tonight at St George's in Deal. She's 17, so there'll be a tank brought into the church.
How lovely. Thank you. Brilliant. And there must be loads of other things happening because you were all chatting so much before. Now, so many different things happening for us today. And there's so many moments in life which shape history, aren't they? It's really important. Whether we're spending time in quiet today or whether we're spending time with family, these moments shape our times. And there's moments in national history, there's moments in our own histories, good and bad. And of course, our celebrations today are about the most important event which shaped the whole of history. Jesus rose from the dead, and because of his resurrection, we have life. A favourite verse of mine, I do have quite a few, but John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And he absolutely meant that. Fullness of life now and fullness of life for all eternity. Now, I am going to need some helpers. I don't mind whether they're adult or child helpers, but I definitely need some people to help me. And I need three people. I don't know if there's anybody who could come with a parent at all, or just an adult, but I need three people to be Mary, John and Peter. I think some people are being volunteered over there, but I'll take people who volunteer themselves. Matthew, you are such a star. Matthew, would you be John for me, please? Okay. That's marvellous. Excellent. Sylvie's assisting me, I think, in trying to find me some more people. That's fantastic. Nobody has to, but it is handy to have three bodies. Fantastic. What's your name? Who's this? What's your name? We're not quite sure, but I'd like you to be Peter. And Sylvie, would you be with this young gentleman? And come and stand around here with Matthew. Okay. And I'm going to need one more person. And this person's going to be Mary. And Ruth's going to do it. Ruth's so supportive. It's incredible. Here you go. Thank you so much. Wonderful. And John, you were very scholarly. So you have a pad and you can be writing in your pad. And this worked out quite well because Peter was adventurous and he's the one who got out of the boat. So you can be playing with this boat for a minute. And this was Mary Magdalene we're talking about, but I thought Mary Magdalene needed to dress up in a shawl. So that's fantastic. So we have our three people. And you three actually can sit at the front, and I'm going to call you up one at a time because that's going to be part of our story. If you're okay, that's all right. So it had been a really horrible few days for the friends of Jesus, hadn't it? On Palm Sunday, only a week ago, he'd made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And everything had seemed so gloriously positive. And then a few days later, Jesus had been tried and sent to his death on the cross. Now imagine how Mary, John and Peter and all of Jesus' other disciples would have felt. It would have seemed like all hope had gone. And yet, when Mary and then later John and Peter go to the tomb, they find it empty with Jesus' grave clothes folded neatly inside. And Fiona highlighted the empty tomb and the fact that it says Jesus is alive. But they wouldn't have known that. They were still trying to work out what was going on. But he wasn't there. Something exciting had happened. And as we know, later on in the story, they begin to realise that it was that he'd risen and it was that he was alive and how transforming this news was. Now, sometimes we're really on top of everything and we think, yes, Jesus is alive and we're really full of faith. And sometimes life can get a bit tricky and it can wear us down. And I think there's some messages from the story to help us out at both those times of life. And there's particularly actually some messages to help us out when it's hard to keep sight of what Jesus has done for us, hard to live in the light of his resurrection. So could we invite up Mary Magdalene? Who could tell me something about Mary Magdalene? We know about her. Does anybody... I'm sorry about this. I'm going to be asking a few questions this morning, so be ready. Who can tell me something? Anything you like about Mary Magdalene?
She came from Magdala.
She did indeed. Thank you very much for that. And no need for this whatsoever. Maybe we'll have some more of those. Shout out something else about Mary Magdalene.
You're the brother of the last sister called Martha.
Thank you. Excellent.
You didn't hear that.
Matthew was talking about her family members, which was very helpful. Okay, so Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, when she first met Jesus. Thank you so much, Mary Magdalene. Stay here. I'm just moving you forward so I can talk with you. she was really, really broken. She had had a horrible time in life, and life had been very hard on her. She'd made quite a few mistakes, some choices which she rather regretted. And Jesus had loved her. He had invited her to be his friend. He'd forgiven her sins. He'd given her a new chance in life. And he was probably the first person who'd ever given her worth in life. And Mary loved Jesus hugely, just like Ruth does, actually. And she was the first person to go to the tomb. And she went to be near his body. It was the dark. It was in the early hours of the morning. It was really brave of her, actually. She went by herself. And there were some emotions that Mary would have been feeling that morning. And perhaps she herself, it was dark outside, but perhaps she herself would have felt like she was in darkness. She certainly would have felt like she was confused. She was probably despairing. Wonderful. And she probably felt unable to cope. You are just wonderful, you are. The thing is, maybe a bit like Mary Magdalene, we have things like that going on in our lives. And sometimes we also feel like it's really hard to cope. Maybe, actually, at the moment, we're in a state of darkness and we can't see our way through. Times are tough. Things are happening to our family and friends or ourselves, which are really, really hard. Well, the thing is, although we don't understand how he works or his timings, Jesus promises that these feelings are not how it will be forever for us. We have the promise of the transformation of the resurrection now and in the future. And we have Jesus accompanying us, stepping alongside us and helping us when things are hard. Later on in the story, Mary becomes the very first person in all humanity to encounter the risen Lord Jesus. And she realises that he's alive and what he did for her on the cross in his resurrection, and that darkness turns to light again. Now, it's not always quite so simple with us, but we can take our difficult feelings to the Lord and ask him to help us with them. So I'm going to ask Mary to go and put those difficult feelings under the empty clothes in the tomb, because we can leave them there. Often we can leave them with the resurrected Jesus. So give Mary a clap. I think she's been remarkable. Thank you. And let's meet our next character. Let's meet John. Thank you very much, John. Now, who can shout me out something we know about John? Be writing in your book. They'll give us a clue. Excellent. What do we know about John? He might well have been. Yes, he might well have been. Thank you. That's brilliant. What else do we know about John? Go on. Jesus loved him very much. Very good. Okay. Now, John, he was very scholarly, a bit like Matthew, which is perfect. He was the writer, or at least behind the writing of the Gospel of John. And he was the only one of the 12 disciples still with Jesus at the cross. So he'd been true to Jesus to the very end. And yet, Jesus had died. And John didn't know what would happen now. And here are some of the emotions he might have been feeling. So he might have been feeling hurt. Can you hold that for me? Thank you. He might have been feeling let down. Could have been feeling all sorts of other things as well, but, you know, this is the start. He might have been feeling hopeless. And he could have been feeling disappointed in Jesus. And it's possible that we identify with some of those feelings. It's not something we often say or not something we feel like it's okay to admit in very many places. But sometimes life and even our faith itself can disappoint us. Sometimes things don't work out the way we hope and it hurts. It hurts us a lot. Sometimes we've lived the Christian life faithfully for many, many years and we're quietly wondering, did we actually get this right? We're hanging on in. Did we get it right? But in the story we heard today, even though John had been wondering those things, he discovered, yes, he had been absolutely right. When he plucked up the courage to enter the tomb, because you know he hung back in the story, when he went in, it says he saw and believed. Now, I know that it's not always so simple with us, but when we look to Jesus, thank you so much. When we're struggling to keep our faith, we can offer those feelings to him. And today, on Easter Day, we can leave those feelings under the robes in the empty tomb. Thank you so much. Give John, or Matthew, a really big clap. Finally, we have Peter. Now, Peter, hello, what good work. Peter was such a mix, wasn't he? And he's my absolutely favourite disciple. We're probably not supposed to have favourites, but I love Peter. He was so courageous in so many ways, and he loved the Lord Jesus. He was so eager to serve him, and his heart was huge. And yet, he also made so many mistakes. And despite saying he would never betray him, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times at the cross. Peter was heartbroken. He came to the tomb that day in such an awful state. And here are some of the feelings he may have had. He was probably feeling ashamed. Thank you, Sylvie. He was probably feeling devastated. There would have been a lot of guilt. And he also was absolutely desperate for another chance with the Lord. And it is possible also that we can identify with those feelings. However hard we try and however good our intentions are, we all let Jesus down sometimes, and we all need the chance to try again at following him more faithfully. And there's good news for Peter, and there's good news for us. Despite Peter messing up, later on in the story, Jesus meets with him on the beach, that's after the bit we read today, and forgives him and reinstates him as his disciple and as a key leader in the church. In fact, we know that Jesus said about Peter that he was the rock on whom he built the whole church. And throughout the book of Acts, we hear about the wonderful things that he did for the Lord. So it's not always so simple with us, but when there are times when we mess up, and I do that a lot, we're all human beings, we all do, we can give all our feelings to Jesus. We can leave them at the empty tomb, the tomb which Jesus rose again from, and be free of them. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now give Peter. Thank you. Off the camera, lads. A really good clap. Now, we may be able to identify with Mary or John or Peter today, or our situation may be completely different. We may be on top of the world at the moment because we're so in love with the Lord and so sort of on fire for him. But there are times in the Christian life where we go through different sorts of feelings. And however we feel today, Jesus died for us that our sins might be forgiven, and he rose again that we can have life to the full. And that is something that is for now. Hallelujah. And for all eternity. It is a wonderful, wonderful truth which transforms us and sets us free. If you have questions about that, please ask Fiona or myself after the service, because we'd love to chat to you. And we are all going to pray. Now, if you agree with my prayer, you can be echoing it in your heart as we pray now. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that you rose again and that you defeated death forever, that we who believe in you can have eternal life. Lord, help us to share your love with others. Amen.